Last night I made you a promise. I said that if you take seriously and implement the things that I recommend to you specifically tonight, that your life will be radically changed. I give you my word about that. And not only that, but because your life is radically changed, your entire family will be radically changed. I make a bold promise, and I can only make that promise because I see it on a daily basis. On a daily basis, people come to me and tell me, I did what you said. I'm doing what you said. You won't believe it. My husband this, my son that, my aunt this, my daughter that. Last night, there was a young woman who came up to me and she said, thank you so much. You changed my entire life. You gave me the entire basis and foundation for my spiritual life. I pray 4 rosaries a day. I go to confession frequently. I visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and I am discerning a vocation to religious life. The dad came up to me and said, our lives are totally changed and we're never going back. I hear this all the time. When one person in a family gives their entire life over to the Virgin Mary, one by one, the other members of the family begin to fall. And once one person does it, and then the second person in their family does it, the third and the fourth, they don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. So again, I do caution you though, take only what applies to you. I'm going to push hard all the way. Some of you might not be called to that yet. Some of you might be called to more. What we want to do is discern what is God's will for me specifically and individually, because it's different for everybody. There's no one size fits all in what we're doing in our spiritual lives. But be attentive to the movements of your heart, and that is the way that God communicates. But what I want to do tonight is give you practical means guaranteed by God to work. One of my dearest friends, his name is Saint Pope John Paul II. I never knew him while he was alive. But he's more alive in death than he was when he walked this earth. He's a dear friend. I talk to him on a regular basis. One of the quotes that he has is the best programs of evangelization. And we're all trying to evangelize. There's many programs in the church to evangelize. He said the best programs of evangelization, if they don't have the Holy Spirit behind them, they are worthless. They're worthless. I don't care how much money you pour into a program. You're throwing your money into a burning trash bin if the Holy Spirit isn't supporting you. And so the initiatives begun by the Mother of God, these and these alone, have the guarantee of having the power of the Holy Spirit behind them. So I'm going to give you some initiatives that the Virgin Mary has begun, and she will anoint the message because this is her message. I'm just sharing it with you. And I'm going to give you the easiest message to the hardest message. So the easiest way to bring the Virgin Mary into your life that doesn't involve any prayer, I have to bring it up. I normally don't bring this up, but I'm in the Church of Our Lady of Guadalupe. One of the easiest devotions to have is put a large image of the Virgin Mary in your house, in a prominent place in your house. The image of Our Lady of Guadalupe was created by heaven, created by heaven. Many of the attributes of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe reflect the living image, where you can see a reflection in the eyes. Remember I said yesterday one of the hallmarks of the finger of Mary is that it works to many ends. The image of the Tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe has a message specifically for the indigenous people. It has a message specifically for the Spaniards. And it has a message specifically for us, because there are things that we only learned about the Tilma in the modern age. So if I told you yesterday that the essence of Marian devotion was to have a sense that Mary is present, and then to do her holy will, or God's holy will, with Mary, depending on where you're at and where you feel comfortable talking, then you need to have consultation with Mary. Many of you have seen, if you've been with me, that I carry holy pictures with me. I am a little bit of a weirdo, but there is a scientific reason why I do this. Out of sight, out of mind. If I don't have a visible image of the ones that I love, I will not think about them. But by me carrying a picture of an image of Our Lady, it reminds me that she's really present. And how much more important is that at home when our tensions are high? We fight with the ones that we love the most. We are most cruel to the ones that live in our own families. And when I'm about to yell at my children or my spouse, when I'm about to lose my temper, if I see an image of Our Lady, if I see a picture of her Immaculate Heart, I'm about to yell at my son, and I look at her and she says, no, come on, don't do it. Here's my heart. Love him. Love your wife. Love your daughter. It's as if the image almost comes alive and communicates with me. It's not really talking, but it's talking to my heart. So my brothers and sisters, if you do not have an image of the Virgin Mary in your home, get one and get a big one. Don't be cheap. The things that you use on a regular basis, be willing to spend big money on. The religious art in your home, don't you like going to churches? People go to Italy. Father's telling me he's going on a pilgrimage to Italy. One of the things people do, even secular people, they go in there and they marvel at the beauty of it. Your house is supposed to be a domestic church, a church at home. And so therefore, make your homes beautiful. Be willing to spend on a picture that you're going to see every single day that will talk to you and inspire you and guide you. So having an image in your home, especially an image such as Our Lady of Guadalupe, especially an image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we have to have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I have to plug that, because there are certain images that are worth more in the spiritual economy. So an image, I always try to take an image with me of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, he said, anywhere that an image of mine is honored and is set up so that it can be, quote unquote, enthroned as the king of the home, there will be peace in that home. That's a specific promise. Images of the divine mercy. Jesus says graces will flow out of this image. Wherever this image is, graces will enter that place. So there's promises, and our Lord keeps his promises. So go out, find an image that speaks to your heart, and put it in a prominent place in your home. And that is your way of saying, this is the home of Jesus Christ the King. This is the home of Mary, my Queen. The second thing, and we're going to get a little bit more difficult. The second thing that you can do was initiated by Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Now, let me be very clear. All these ladies are the same lady. Our Lady of Guadalupe is the same lady of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, is the same lady of Our Lady of Fatima. But they all represent a different message. So the message of Our Lady of Mount Carmel is extraordinarily powerful. And you might not understand it at first. And people might say, that brown scapular, that's like Catholic superstition. I just put on this little trinket around my neck, and that's supposed to keep me out of hell? That doesn't sound very reasonable. Where is that in the Bible? So let me explain it to you, because it's all perfectly theological. So when Our Lady appeared to Simon Stock, she told him, wear this scapular as a sign of your consecration. And anybody who wears this garment of grace, they shall not suffer eternal fire. What? I just have to wear this little brown cloth and I won't go to hell? Remember I told you my story of the nun? She told me that and I said, is this like fire insurance? And she's like, yeah, it's your fire insurance. Put it on. A lot happened when I put on that fire insurance that I didn't understand. So wearing it as a sign of consecration, what does that mean? I'm wearing the brown scapular as a symbol that I accept the Virgin Mary as my mother. I gave you a quote yesterday from St. Alphonsus, Doctor of the Church. He said, no child of Mary shall ever be damned. No child of Mary shall ever be damned. Why not? Because a child of Mary is one who's united to Christ. The most basic way that I can be united to Christ is to say, Mary, you're my mother. I can say that because I'm a member of the body of Christ. So who is the first one to wear the brown scapular? Where is that in the Bible? And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's where it's at in the Bible. Jesus is the one who said, I give my life to Mary. I wear her garment. I wear her flesh. I wear her blood. Her blood flows through my veins. And so when you have the brown scapular, you're saying to Mary, Mary, you're my mom. If I could, I would wear your flesh. If I could, I would have your blood circulating through my veins. Jesus did it first. So the brown scapular is a symbol of a relationship, I'm wearing a wedding band on my ring finger. I'm going to take it off just for like a brief second. Oh my gosh. Am I still married? Yes. But I should put this back on, right? Yes, I should. Why? Because this symbolizes a commitment that I've made. Similarly, the brown scapular. You may have consecrated yourself to the Virgin Mary, and I hope you do. But wear a symbol of that consecration as a reminder. That's why I wear my wedding ring, to remind me that I'm quote unquote married. So you wear your brown scapular as a sign that you're married. Now this is very, 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 very powerful, because the symbol is so powerful. And I've noticed that it works even when the fool putting it on doesn't know what he's putting on. Mary takes the symbol so significantly that it would be an insult to Almighty God and to the Holy Spirit and to the Virgin Mary for somebody to put it on and it not take root in its heart. So I am case number one. I mentioned to you a lot of bad things that happened to me that led to my conversion, but it all started with one thing. A nun gave me a scapular. And I have seen, and this is very important, because some of you have children who are also on the highway to hell, if we're being objective. By all objective standards, they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've not given their life over totally to Christ. So how can you call them a follower of Christ and to share in his benefits? So I have seen in several circumstances where I have convinced a person, for whatever reason, to wear the brown scapular, that they eventually and quickly convert. I'll give you what you should do. This is what I've done, and it has worked in every single circumstance. If I were you, if you have a child who is away from the faith, for Christmas, buy them something very meaningful to them. Either something way out of your price range, and they know it, so they know you've made a big sacrifice, or just something that's very thoughtful. And with that Christmas gift, write a very intentional note about how much you love them and about how much you wish that they were going to church, but you respect them and I understand you're not there yet. But please, out of love for me, your mom, or out of love for me, your father, I beg of you, just wear this brown scapular. I know you don't believe, I know you're Protestant, or I know you're an atheist, what, I know you're living in an illicit, whatever, I don't know. Wear this for me. And what will happen is, Our Lady somehow will begin to give them spiritual milk. Graces will begin to seep into their life. I have one of my dearest friends, he had been away, he hadn't gone to church in 20 years. And my mother, on a consistent basis, would invite him to Christmas Mass, to Easter Mass, and he would say, no, 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 year after year, no, 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 no. And one Christmas, I gave him a brown scapular along with an expensive gift that he knew I couldn't afford, but so it meant a lot to him. And I teach adult confirmation. I invited him. I said, I know you don't know the Catholic faith. I know you say you don't believe in God, but let's be honest, you don't know diddly squat about theology. Everything you know, you learned from watching Bill Maher. Why don't you come to my adult confirmation class just to hear what it is that you're saying that you reject? Okay, fine, I'll go to your confirmation class. Six classes in, five classes in, you know, you could get confirmed. All you have to do is go to confession. It's like 3 minutes long. I know all your mortal sins. I could just list to you your mortal sins. Like, I could just tell you what they are just from looking at you. There's only 10 commandments, and I'm pretty sure you broke a lot of them many times. And he went to confession. And like that, after one confession, he's right with God. And he makes his Holy Communion, and he receives the sacrament of confirmation. And like that, now he goes to Mass every single Sunday. And then he starts going to Mass on Wednesdays. And then he's going to go on this men's retreat. But it all begins with Our Lady. Think about the theology, my brothers and sisters. This is science, not piety. Jesus came into the world through whom? Through Mary. Therefore, God, who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, will bring Jesus Christ into the world through Mary. Jesus Christ will come into your family through Mary. Jesus Christ will come into the hardest hearts through Mary. Wear the brown scapular. if you're in religious education, if you have grandchildren, convince them to wear the brown scapular. They don't have to know what they're doing. They just got to do it. Our Lady will take care of the formality. But don't you have to be enrolled in a brown scapular? Yes, you should be enrolled, but we're living in desperate times. The devil's a lawyer. Our Lady's not a lawyer. Our Lady's a mother. And mothers try to get their kids into the honor program, and they're skirting all the rules all the time. Our Lady's going to make it work. Should they be enrolled? Ideally, yes. But you're not going to get up there and you're going to lose your salvation on a technicality. I wear this as a sign of my consecration to you. Yeah, but Father didn't say this prayer. Maybe you're in a church, God forbid that you're at a church, your Father doesn't want to read that prayer. Then whose fault is it? So I encourage you, buy brown scapulars. They're $2. DiscountCatholicProducts.com. You can get them 20 for $20. And then just hand them out to all of your students. All of the kids who come through my programs, I enroll all of them in the brown scapular. Every retreat, once a year, we make sure that all the kids have been enrolled in the brown scapular. If you don't remember if you've been enrolled, we're going to enroll you again. I love seeing a tag on the back of the neck of a teenager. When I see the little brown tag on the back of the teenager, I'm not worried about that kid. Honestly, it's the kids who don't have the tag that I'm worried about. Get your children brown scapulars, get your grandchildren brown scapulars, hand them out, especially when people are suffering. St. John of the Cross says, suffering endears men to Christ. When a person is suffering, that's when you sneak in religion. Because when a person is suffering, that is when their heart is open to God. Because the wealthiest person in the world will try anything when their money can't ease the woes of the human heart. And money cannot ease the woes of the human heart. So when a person is suffering, that's when you strike. That's an easy thing to do. Wearing the scapular. Why is that easy? Because nobody sees it. I'm a freak. I could possibly be wearing 10 scapulars under my clothes. I'm not, but I could be. Nobody knows. And that's another thing that you can tell your family member. Please wear this under your clothes. Nobody's going to know. I beg of you, please. I promise you, she never fails. She never fails. Never was it known that anybody who called upon her was left unaided. You just have to get them the sacramental. Now, the next sacramental is a little more difficult. It's a little harder because this involves wearing something outwardly. The miraculous medal wasn't originally called the miraculous medal. It was called the medal of the Immaculate Conception. The Virgin Mary appeared to a young nun named Catherine Laboureil in 1830 in Paris, France, and she said, "Have a medal made in this image." Our Lady appeared standing on top of the earth with her foot on the head of the serpent. Where is that from? The book of Genesis. With her hands outstretched, with rays coming out of her hands, and around that the words, "O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." On the back of the medal, Our Lady gave an image of the cross with an M at the foot of the cross. Where is that in the Bible? It's Our Lady of Sorrows, Mary standing at the foot of the cross. It's the Gospels. Underneath that is an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What did I say? Jesus promised, wherever there's an image of the Sacred Heart, honored and exposed, my peace will reign there. You're wearing the miraculous medal. You have an image of the Sacred Heart with you. To the right of that is an image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Around that is 12 stars. That is a reference to the book of Revelation. She's crowned with a crown of 12 stars. The 12 apostles are represented there as well. And she said, anybody who wears this medal around their neck, specific. She was specific. Can you have it hanging in your car? Sure. Can you wear it as a ring? Of course. But wear this around your neck, but especially wear it with confidence. Confidence, my brothers and sisters. In Latin, con fide, with faith. What does it mean to be confident in somebody or in something? That means I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. When bad things happen, you're wearing your miraculous medal. You say, I'm not worried. Our Lady's got this. Wear it with confidence. And if you wear it with confidence, she says, I promise extraordinary graces, extraordinary favors from God, extraordinary gifts from God. She promises you her presence with you wherever you go. I've worn this miraculous medal since right when I graduated from college. And every time I wear it, somebody comments on it. And that gave me an insight into it. Because they would say, I love your medallion. And I would say, what? Huh? Oh, thank you. I realized I forgot that I was wearing this, but other people were seeing it. And I noticed something. People were giving me credit for things that I did not do. The hand of God would be upon me, and God would be working in a person's life, and I didn't have to proclaim the gospel. I didn't have to talk about Our Lady. But when they saw this around my neck, and I was just nice to them, automatically Mary gets the credit. And we live in a time where it is inappropriate, not socially acceptable to talk about our Catholic faith. We don't want to be too in your face. We don't have as many processions as we would like to have, at least not in the public square. You know, in some countries, they have statues of the Virgin Mary. Father was telling me about a cool restaurant where they have a statue of Saint Joseph in the pizza shop. Wow, I want to eat there. Sounds incredible. But most places aren't like that. And how do I take Mary into the public square? By wearing her around my neck. So wear a miraculous medal, because the Virgin Mary has promised special protection to those who do. I have seen this in my own life. I don't have time to tell you every single story. The most famous of the stories that I tell most often is I was at World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and I was working on a presentation in the hotel lobby. I was going to give a talk on Catholics in the media, and I finished my presentation and I hit save the second, the very instant that I hit save. And so this is another way you recognize the hand of God, my friend John Paul II. In the providence of God, there are no coincidences. The moment that I hit save on this file, a hand reaches across my laptop, grabs my cell phone, and I am very choleric. Some people are sanguine, they're very talkative and chatty. I'm very reactive. It gets me in trouble a lot, and it almost got me killed. Because I turn my head to see who the you-know-what's taking my phone. I don't think so, buddy. I need that. I turn my head, and there's a hard object to it. And then I want to know what's this object, and it's a gun pointed at my face. And because I'm choleric, my first instinct at injustice is to have righteous indignation. It's not a good quality, because that's when I get in trouble. And I said, oh, heck no, you are not going to try and rob me. I just finished this presentation, you know what? And so I'm like trying to fight this guy, and my life is flashing before my eyes. It flashes. When you're about to die, your life does slow down. And things, either that or things in your brain speed up. When I leave my home, every time I leave my home, my wife says the same thing. And I wish my children were here, because they always testify whenever they're present. They say, yes, she does. She always says that. When I leave my house, my wife always tells me two things. Don't do anything dumb. And please don't embarrass me. She always tells me this. And I always respond the same exact thing every single time. I'm leaving this house. Therefore, dumb things are going to happen. And if you find out about them, you will be embarrassed. It's true. And I remember the last time she told me that. And I'm trying to point the gun at a Brazilian person to shoot him in the face. And I'm thinking, don't do anything dumb. Okay, fine, I won't do anything dumb. Okay, getting shot in the face in Brazil is also very dumb. And so once I realized that my options were either shoot somebody or get shot, I was like, Blessed Mother, help me. I just thought this instantaneously came to my mind. The moment that I said those words, something came over me. When you call upon the name of Mary, the Holy Spirit will come. I let go of the gun and I dropped to my knees and I began to sing. This is how I know it was not me, because I don't sing. When I sing, other people pray twice because they're praying for me not to sing. I don't pray twice. And I began singing, Ave, Ave, Ave Maria. And I'm waiting for this guy to shoot me in the chest. I'm waiting. Like, I'm just like, here we go. I guess I'm going to die singing the Ave Maria. And this man's eyes turned to silver dollars, so big and so round, and he has a look of shock on his face, and he takes off running in the other direction, where I knew I was going to get shot in the chest. And his eyes were looking at my chest. He saw something here. I don't know what he saw. Maybe his mother or his grandmother used to wear a miraculous medal. Maybe the Virgin Mary appeared to him. I don't know what he saw. But he took off. And he took off with my cell phone and my laptop. And I was not happy. But I knew God was behind it. I knew he did this. He did this to me. So I went to the church. I was so angry at the Lord. I said, "What are you doing, man? I come down here to give a presentation and you stole it from me the moment that I finished it. And I almost got shot in the chest. You took my presentation from me. You did this." See, I'm very choleric. It's not good. Then I have to confess being mad at God. And then he says, "Whose this again, this is not like here, it's here. Whose presentation was stolen? Mine." Exactly. That's not the presentation I wanted you to give. Last night I told you that at the previous World Youth Day, the Lord had put on my heart that he wanted me to promote the rosary. And I had not done that yet. And I said, "Fine, Lord, what is your message? What do you want promoted? Preach my rosary. Preach the scapular. Preach Mary. Preach purity." And that was one of the first times that I did that. And when I got back to the hotel managers were so embarrassed because this was a very fancy hotel that they'd put me up at. They said, "What did you have? An iPhone? Do you have a laptop?" I said, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." "Okay, how much was that?" I was like, "Probably $3,000. And then I got, my renter's insurance came and gave me some money because I was renting at the time and they stole my property. I made out like a bandit. I don't know how I got robbed and came away with way more money, and I gave a great presentation. And if you wear the miraculous medal, I promise, I'm just kidding, I can't promise the same thing for you. I can't promise that. But I can promise you that God will work, that Mary will work. And I have seen and I have witnessed and I have heard testimonies of people who were miraculously saved by the miraculous medal. But more important than that is why I think Our Lady wants it to be worn outside of your clothes and with confidence, is because she wants to be promoted. She wants your neighbors to see her. She wants your Protestant family members or your relatives to see you, not worshiping Mary, but honoring her as the Mother of God, as the solitary boast of our humankind. She got it right. There's a great story in the Old Testament, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. It's a parallel between Mary as the Ark of the Covenant and Mary as the Ark of the New Covenant. And in the Old Testament, whenever the Hebrews would take the Ark of the Covenant into battle, they would win those battles. And so when you wear your miraculous medal, you're taking Mary into battle. In the Old Testament, they would take the Ark of the Covenant around Jericho, which is symbolic for a city of sin with high walls that can't be penetrated, can't be beaten. That's symbolic for sin in our lives that seems almost impossible to overcome. You take the Virgin Mary into those circumstances, those walls will come crumbling down. But my favorite reference to the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament is when the Philistines had a victory over the Jewish people because they were being unfaithful to God. And so God says, "Fine, you don't love me, you don't receive my protection. I'm not going to force my victories upon you. I'm not going to protect you when you don't want me." And so the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, put the Ark of the Covenant with their pagan god Dagon, which is, according to the Old Testament, the gods of the pagans are demons. So putting it with a statue of a demon, the next day the Philistines go in, that demonic statue is crumbled. They rebuilt it. The next day it happened again. Then the Philistines picked up on it. That was no accident. The gods of the Jews is far more powerful than our false gods. So the Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant out, and the scripture, this is the infallible word of God, says the Philistines had hemorrhoids that exploded and they died from hemorrhoids. For the young ones who don't know what hemorrhoids are, that's when the veins come out of your butt. It's very embarrassing. You have to put a cream. It's very embarrassing. But you know what's more embarrassing than hemorrhoids? Death by hemorrhoids. To die from it. For them to explode and your guts to come out of your butt. That is the most humiliating form of death. But that's what Mary does. She wins. And she wins hard. She humiliates evil. She crushes the head of the serpent. to be defeated by a 13-year-old girl, a human, purely human, utter humiliation. And that's what she does. Anytime you embrace her, she humiliates her enemies. If you're a slave to sin, she will free you from your slavery and make you a liberator of other people who are also enslaved. She will set your soul on fire and crush the serpent, no matter who it is, no matter what it is. And so that's why we're going to talk about the next devotion, which is the most powerful. We're going to talk about the Holy Rosary. It is the most powerful and therefore the most misunderstood devotion.